seated. It's great to sing about the birth of Jesus, is it not?
Amen.
Turn over to 268 at the top of the page. 268.
There for a little bit, y'all probably thought I was at school and I'd been a bad boy. I was over in the corner. No, it is good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We are glad to see each and every one out for our service today, and I hope and pray that you've had a good week. Some have had, started out bad and ended up real good. Brother Tom, good to see you back with us today. Most of you probably do not know this, but Brother Tom had, I guess you'd call it emergency surgery, Monday, and he is able to be back with us today, and I am thankful that he is. We are glad that he's with us today, and the Lord's blessed him. I'll just say it that way. Kind of scary when we found out about what went on, but he's doing good, and we just pray that he don't get too winded. But if the Lord will help him, if the Lord wants him to do something, the Lord will help him, and he'll be well is what he'll do. And so let's do keep him on our hearts today. Glad to see everybody here today. We're glad to see all the visitors that have come out to be with us today. And I hope and pray that you will be blessed today greatly. I didn't get around to see everybody today as you was coming in. I apologize for that. But I told somebody the other night, it's kind of hard to believe, but I was talking to somebody. And so I apologize for not getting there to welcome you, but we are glad that you are here today. I hope and pray that you will be prayerful for one another, especially prayerful for this service. We were able to have two good singings this past week, one Sunday night and then one Friday night. had good crowds for both of them, and we're blessed in those singings. And I hope the ones that attended enjoyed what you heard, and because it was about God, and that's a good, good thing today in this service. And so let's be about God's business. Let's try to do something for the Lord today. And let's just don't sit back and just say, well, just because it is blank day, it's just a regular Sunday, we can't, don't think that it can't be a special day. It'd be a special day for somebody to join the church. It might be a very special day that some of these that's not saved could desire to be saved so bad that they'd start seeking God, be saved, and tell us about it. Amen. That's important that you tell somebody about being saved. So today, let's be about God's business today in this service. We'll move right along with our service today. We always do the children's church, and I don't remember which side Brother Sam had you on last week, but we'll come right over here. Children, come down for children's church. Brother Sam is not able to be with us today, so I'm going to be doing the children's church today. We're a little bit short today as far as our numbers, but we are glad. No, we got about everybody here. Come right ahead. Now, I'm going to do just a little bit different today as far as my type of children's church. Y'all been practicing your Christmas program? You got your parts down good? Got to work at it. The thing that I want you to do today is we're getting close to Christmas, right? Everybody looking forward to having Christmas? Yeah. Got good gifts planned? You going to give something good to your mom and daddy? Yes, you're watching the Christmas Advent, I bet. That's good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Christmas. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Go right here. All right, don't raise your hands. That's what I meant to tell you. Don't raise your hands. Just tell me, okay? Just blurt it out, okay? You celebrate Jesus' birthday this week, and that or during the Christmas time, and I like to celebrate it all month long. I don't get to celebrate my birthday but one day, but Jesus is special, isn't he? We should celebrate him for all the time that that he was born into this world. So we celebrate his birth, don't we? Okay? Who was Jesus' mother? Mary. Like I said, don't raise your hand. Just go ahead and tell me. Mary was his mother. Who was Mary married to that acted like Jesus' father? Joseph, that's right. And so we had Mary and Joseph, but who was Jesus' real father? God was. And that's what we need to always remember. Jesus was special in that he was God's son. And we need to keep that in mind all the way through. Where was Jesus born at? Bethlehem. And so Bethlehem was a place that was special. And why did they go there? This is a little hard. Why did Mary and Joseph, why were they at Bethlehem? Right, that's a good answer right there. It is because where God wanted Jesus to be born there. All right, it talks about a special sign that came upon the place where Jesus was at when he was born. Do you remember that special? A star was. I like the star at Christmas. Several years ago, I never could make one that I really liked good because I never could make one. But I finally found a star. And it's part of my decorations that I put outside. I put out a star upon our house and it lights up bright. That star was a bright, shining light to all that was there. Okay, now, here's another tough question. Who announced that Jesus was born? The angels did. Good. Y'all doing good. The angels announced that Jesus was born. Who'd they announce it to first? The shepherds. Y'all doing real good. And did the shepherds just sit back, or did they go where Jesus was? They found him, didn't they? What was Jesus laying in? A manger. That's a good thing, just as God had said it would be. And those great shepherds, they got to tell to people about these things that they had saw. Okay, one last question here today. What did the angels say when they proclaimed it to the shepherds that Jesus was born? You might remember how they glorified God? Okay, go ahead. Just go ahead and say, glory. That's good. All right. I'm gonna stop my questions right there. I'm gonna turn you loose. But right loud, real loud, everybody stand up. I'm gonna follow Brother Sam. Everybody stand up. Let's say what the angel said. Glory to God in the highest. And good job. Thank y'all. Thank you so much. You've done really good. I thought they'd be able to answer all those questions, and they've done well. For the young ones, it's another lesson. Maybe they wasn't able to say it was Mary, but they heard the others say Mary. They heard who the Father was. They heard that. You know, it won't be many years till those little ones will be the ones that will be saying, oh, it was Mary. And I'm looking forward to those times when they'll grow up and they'll know the story and be able to say it out themselves. It's good to see everybody out today. We're going to move right along with our service today. We want you to follow the Lord. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart before we go any further on the service? Thankful for this. And a lot of times we fail to thank the Lord for the small things. And when you're a parent, we tend to think of things being bigger, big. Some of us, we may look at it as a small thing. Well, if it's you that stumped your toe, it's a big thing, right? But it's good for us to give God the glory when he does something for us. And we're thankful for that. Appreciate that this morning. Yeah. Yeah. It's due remember to pray for Ezra. Yes. Somebody else? Yeah. Oh dear. Let's do remember that young man, Tate's his name, and let's pray that the Lord will save him. Somebody else. Let's do remember that revival too. Somebody else got a prayer request. Lord help. Let's do remember Brother John in our prayers. Somebody else. Yeah. Lord help. Do remember this. Somebody else. I'll give you the ones that were given in our Sunday school. We've already mentioned Brother Tom and need to pray for him and the family. Do remember the revival at Friendship and Tate there. It was requested that we remember Brother Massey in our prayers also, that he's still, I guess for lack of better words, he's still very lonesome after the passing of Sister Judy, so do remember her. Don't forget to pray for Sister Elizabeth and her family. Sister Elizabeth's sister passed away this week, so continue to pray for them. We do need to remember Sister Barbara Faircloth. She had a spell, I guess it was with her heart here a couple weeks ago, and she's recovering, doing some better, but talked to Brother Dwight the other night, and he talked like she was still not very well. Do want to remember Sister Theta. She's had COVID and recovering, But at her age, we do need to remember her. Need to remember Sister Charlsie. That's our two oldest members. Need to remember them. Brother Dave and Sister Sandy's daughter Karen and Tim. Tim's mother has been having some problems, and she requested prayer for them. It was mentioned about some soldiers. I forgot who that was now, but they was getting to come home. I put it down as let's remember all of our soldiers. A lot of them will get to come home. Most of them will be somewhere on base or somewhere serving our country. Let's remember our soldiers, if you would. And glad to see Mama Vern back. She's not been doing well, but she still needs our prayers. It's done been mentioned about Brother John, and we had a prayer request to continue to remember Brother Colton. He told his calling to preach. He's going to need to be preaching here before too long, and we need to pray for him and encourage him and do everything we can to help him. The other prayer request is they requested prayer for Paula. Her words was she was jealous because I was getting all the attention with my knees. In other words, y'all pray for us and our problems as they are. We do ask that you pray for us. I'll be having surgery, Lord willing, about a month from now. So keep that in mind too, please, with that. Is there any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? Appreciate each and every one being here. And let's be about God's business in this service. Glad to have all of our visitors that are here. But let's all be about the Lord's business in this service. And let's have a prayer. And we want everybody to pray in your own way. As I say, you can pray quietly. But the main thing is pray, is what I asked you to do. We'll call on one to start a prayer, but we want everybody to pray. Brother Garen, will you start a prayer, please?
We do humbly pray. Amen.
If you will stand, we'll receive our tithes and offerings at this time. Thank you. You may be seated. Continue our worship service. Rowan's going to come help direct a song this morning. Turn over to 206. 206.
Thank you.
sing one more congregational this song this morning. 57, page 57. Request for page 214.
Thank you.
that last song especially is a good song for us to always keep in mind. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Isn't that a good thought for us today? Sometimes I have to wonder if the Lord thinks we're really thankful. You ever feel like that? Let me liken it to something right quick if I can. And us as parents, your kids say, I have a bad case of I wants, we'll say. And when they get what they want, a lot of times we trained them to say thank you. And maybe you get the kind of the same thing as the when you make them say I'm sorry to their brother or their sister one, they go, I'm sorry. When they say thank you, they just kind of go, thank you. Nothing really felt about it. You ever wonder if God feels like that too? You ever wonder about that? That's something good for us. I was asked to read a verse to you today. It was given to Brother Trey first, and said then he decided it would be good if the whole church heard it. And this is Isaiah 54, if you want to turn there right quick. It's a good verse for us today. And verse 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. We all know what weapons are, don't we? Most time we think swords, knives, guns, such as that. But do you realize the devil has many kinds of weapons that are not that kind of a weapon? And no kind of weapon that is formed against us, whether it's by the devil or somebody, a boss or maybe it's friend or maybe it's just words from one another, we shall prosper, it says. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn, it says. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, is the way that verse goes. And it is very true today that we need to keep in mind that the devil brings a lot of things against us, but he's not going to win in the end. We can allow him to win a small battle in us. Notice I said this, that we can allow him to win a small battle in us, but he can't win the war. He can't. It's done been told by God that he will not win. So keep that in mind today. Anybody got a word on your heart at this time? Word of testimony, anything? Appreciate this. Somebody else? Somebody else? Appreciate everything that's been done thus far. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning, and kind of a makeup. We did two combined, but it worked together real good, I thought. And just appreciate the efforts of everybody that's going around and doing for the church, and just need everybody to continue. And as it's already been stated, if you're not taking an active part, and you may say, well, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, you'll get blessed for it. You'll get a good payment. It's what you'll get if you'll follow the Lord in those matters. Appreciate everybody being here today. Anybody else got anything on your heart? If not, turn to the second chapter of Luke. If you're familiar with your Bible, you're probably saying, uh-oh, we're going to get a Christmas sermon. It's a week early. Well, you have to take it when it gets. That's what we'll have to say. You know I'm not usually a preacher of occasion, but we'll give you what the Lord gives us. It's what we'll try to do today. Yeah, technically it would be, wouldn't it? Technically it would be. Maybe they're going to get three. I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot there that we don't bring out as far as preaching about the birth of Christ. For me, when you preach about the birth of Christ, what we'll say a quote Christmas sermon, it's one of the hardest sermons for me. And the reason why is I guess in my mind, I go back to all the Christmas programs. You know, the watching of Mary and Joseph walk up front and kneel down and such as that. Watching how that the kids will depict the shepherds and the angels and doing all of that and all of that coming together. But there is so much more here in this story, and it all leads to salvation. And it does. It leads to a church being a stronger church, if you'll look at these things. I'm not going to look at the full story. I am going to go back. We kind of done the background with the children's church this morning. That was already my thought that I'd had when Brother Sam said he wouldn't be here and that I would need to do the children's church today, was just to ask the questions and let the kids bring out the story. And them bringing it out, like I said earlier, it teaches the smaller ones to speak up, first of all, but it also, it lets the kids teach the kids. You know, sometimes it's good for the church to teach the church. That's what being thankful is, that being thankful was. Talking about needing others to do their part. That's the church teaching the church. Well, this is going to be something that I hope will strengthen the church today in this service. And you know the story, how that the Lord came to Mary and by the Holy Spirit, by the angel of the Lord, I should say, and announced to her that she was going to bear the Son of God. Then how Joseph found out that she was with child and it wasn't his. And how he was privily going to put her away, privately we'll say, put her away. He loved her enough that he was going not to make a public example of her. But the angel of the Lord again appeared to him in a dream, or he had a dream, I should say, in which that he was told that it was of the Holy Ghost this child was, and to fear not to take her. And then we see the story how that they went to Bethlehem because it was time for taxation, and God had already said that that child would be born in that little city of Bethlehem. Then we see upon the night that they arrived there, there was no room for them in the inn. And so they went out and they were in the stable. Now, we always depict it as being like a little barn that we have, but according to tradition in Jerusalem, or in Israel, I should say, it was probably a cave that they were in. And in that cave, the Son of God was born. And there was no place to lay him except in a feed trough. And in that feed trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes, as the scripture says, our Lord was there. Then came the Annunciation. And I talked about this Friday in our Joyful Hearts. And I talked about how the angels came and how they proclaimed about the birth of the Christ child to the angels. And we talked about it as being a privilege. I didn't know I was going to preach on this at that time, but it got down to one thing, and this is going to be our subject today. And I talked about this a little bit the other day, but I want to take this more in depth. Our reading lesson is verse 13. And it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's our reading lesson today, 13 and 14. Our actual thought today is their words of praise. Now, I do believe that the angels themselves, they actually proclaimed probably a lot more that day. They probably was a lot of just out and out praise that was going on. I talked about how they had the privilege of being the ones to announce that Jesus was born to these particular shepherds. And I talked a little bit the other day, and I'm not going to get back into that so much about how these men were able to hear about the birth of Christ. But today, what I want us to especially look at is that phrase, "Glory to God in the highest," is what it says, "and on earth, peace, goodwill towards all men." There's three or four phrases there that I want us to look at today, but especially I'm going to kind of combine it down into three different phrases today. Glory to God, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. We're going to use those three phrases, and we're going to give you verses that's going to talk about what it means, what these angels were saying today. And it's not necessarily going to be the Christmas type of glory here, but to tell you why they were why they said these things. Because a lot of times we look at verses, and especially some of the Christmas verses, we take things for granted about it. It's just part of the story. So look at this praise today, and I want you to see if you can find a place to praise God in these three facts here today. In these three phrases of praise, I want to see if you can find something in there that says just a little bit more than what it did to you before today. Because every one of us can learn something new out of something we knew a lot about. Years ago, and I'm going to use this example. Years ago, I was working with a young man. He was a little younger than I was. But I loved the man. He had a lot of good points about him. But at times, he was just a little bit arrogant. In other words, he didn't think you could teach him much of nothing. And one day, we worked the same machine, and it was a lot about feel, and it was a lot about little tricks that you learn to do the job exactly right. And on that particular day, we were both doing the very same drive shaft. I was in the drive shaft business. And we walked, he got kind of mouthing off, and he told me I couldn't teach him anything to do about that particular job. He'd been doing it longer than I had been. He said, "I can't teach you a." He said, "You can't teach me anything. I already know it all." You ever done somebody that way? I went back over to my job and I stood there just a few minutes, and I was still working my job, and he was working his, and I looked at him and he was doing something. And I walked over there and I said, "Jackie, let me show you something." And I basically showed him just a little quick trick, and he would take his shaft out, and we was using a pin, a little metal pin about like that. And he'd set it down, he'd pull that thing out, and it would hang and everything like that. I said, "Jackie, let me show you something." And I unloaded that shaft, and I took it off, and I just tapped it on the table, and it fell right out. I said, "There you go, Jackie. See if you can try that and see if you like that better." About 5 minutes later, Jackie walks over to me. He said, "You was right. You could show me something, couldn't you?" Truthfully, we hate being humbled, but it's good for us. I want you to see something today as far as how the angels praised, and think about how we can praise God even more. If nothing more, we can see why we need to praise God a little bit more on this subject today. Because we look at the Christmas story so many times, and we've seen it so many times over the years, especially if you're old as I am, and you saw it so much, you kind of take it for granted to a certain extent. But look here today as to what the angels said and why they said it. Glory to God. It is important for us today, first of all, to give God the glory, because it was all His idea. I want you to get that today. It was all God's idea to do what He did. In the birth of His Son, out there in Bethlehem, there was nothing about that that was surprising to him. Yes, it had already been prophesied by the prophets. That child would be born in Bethlehem. It was it was prophesied that he would come out of Nazareth. If you check your map and start looking, that was about 60 to 70 miles away that where Joseph and Mary were living, and yet they traveled all the way down to Nazareth to get where that baby could be born. Now, it was also told them that this child would not be born in a palace. All of these things were done for a particular reason, and it was all God's idea. A lot of people will tell you that after that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, that was when God was surprised and he had to come up with a plan of salvation. I want you to know something. God already had it in the plans before that man was even identified as a being. Before God even put that clay together and formed that first man, God already had the plan already in place. Jesus had already been talked to about being that Savior, about being born in that stable in Bethlehem. God already had the plans together. God already had everything in such a way that what he was doing that very day was in the plans for everybody to see, to hear, and to know. Now, I want to go, if you will, over to 1 Peter. The first chapter is where we want to go. And I want you to see how God worked here that day and why the angels were saying, glory to God. Glory to God. We know that God deserves the glory above everything else. But in that first chapter of Peter, 1 Peter, I should say, starting with verse 19, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, who for you, is what he says, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now that in a nutshell is how that we get saved. This was the plan of God. And the angels, not knowing exactly what was going on, they were able to see this, observing what was being done. They knew that there was going to need to be a Savior. They knew that there was going to be a time when one was going to have to die according to the scripture. So on this very morning when Jesus was born, they saw everything coming together. They saw the Son of God being born. They saw that this lamb that was going to die for their sins without blemish, without any sin, in other words, and all of this being the precious blood of the Lamb, they saw the very beginning of your salvation is what they saw. So in their minds that day, they began to see the plan of salvation to come together. Have you ever maybe watched a sporting event? Maybe you saw, watched a TV show or read a book. And as you start to read that book, you start to get into your mind, this is what is going to happen. This is what the ultimate end is going to be. And in this sense, this was the ultimate love story that there was in that day. If you go over to 1 John and look at what John said in 1 John, if I can get my Bible to turn the right direction, excuse me. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, it says, herein is love, that we love but God, but that he loved us and sent his son in to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he was the one to take our place because God loved us. And these angels saw the ultimate love of God in the birth of that child. Thus, they said, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, for he hath redeemed his children. Glory to God, for he hath sent his son with his precious blood for his creation. These angels, seeing the glory of God, being in his presence all the time, looking upon the creation that God had made, seeing the love that God had for that people that sinned against him, seeing the love that he had for those that turned their backs upon God, even when that he would send men to them, to prophesy to them, to preach to them, and tell them about a coming king, when he put things in place to show them the way to that. And they turned away from God so many times that God still loved them. He still loved them is what he did. And in that love, he showed to them Jesus. The angel said, glory to God. Now, the thought that I want us to start out with today is that it is important for us to give God that glory, also like the angels did. It is important for us in our day-to-day lives to glorify God in that same way. For without God, we are lost today. Without that God, we have nothing. But what do we have with that God, seeing fit to send his son into the world? What do we have today in that very fact? What his second phrase was peace on earth. Oh, this world today, it's a country that basically, they say, well, we're working on peace talks. Have you ever heard them say that? I know Brother Rodney in the service and such as that, there was times of war, they'd start talking about how did we get peace. You know, I guess my first recollection of such a thing was the Vietnam War, and the soldiers were fighting in Vietnam, but I believe it was in Paris that the three sides of that, the United States, South Vietnam, and North Vietnam, they would meet together in a neutral place. And they were having peace talks. And their ultimate idea was for them to make peace in that country. Now, what the Bible tells us today is that when the world starts crying, peace, peace, know that there is no peace in this world. Yes, I like to think about things being of a peaceful nature. I would love to think about watching a newscast and there's no talk of crime. I would love to watch a newscast and there'd be no talk of division. I'd love to watch a newscast that all they talked about, everything is good. Our news companies would think they was going out of business, wouldn't they? But there's no peace in this world. But I want you to listen, if you will, today. Turn with us to Luke, the first chapter. We're going back to Luke for just a moment here. And a couple verses. And this was before Jesus was born, but John the Baptist had been prophesied that he was coming and that he would be the forerunner. Now, the angel had told Zechariah, his father, he said, you're going to call him John. And God had shut his mouth up. He couldn't speak for the entire time before that John was born until the day that he was named. And when they asked Zechariah what his name was going to be, they tried to name him after his father and anybody else in the family. He said, he wrote on a tablet, his name shall be John. And what the scripture says, that God loosed his tongue and he began to praise God. He did. And he started telling them what this child was fixing to be. What he was, the forerunner of God, son. But what he said when he got down to verse 76, he starts out talking about his child. And he says, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. Hey, we're back to that term there. Glory to God in the highest. Zechariah said the same thing, meaning God is the highest of all there is. He said, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. That's what John the Baptist did. But get this part. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins through the tender mercies of God, whereby the day spring from the high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow to guide our feet into the way of peace. There's only one real peace in this world, and that's peace with God. As long as we are in this life, there'll be days of sickness, won't there? There'll be days of pain. Whether it's a headache, a leg ache, or whatever, there'll be pains that will come upon each and every one of us. But the fact of the matter, there's no real peace until you walk in the ways of peace. And the only way that you can walk in the real ways of peace is to walk in God's way and to find the true peace. And this was what the angels were speaking when they said peace on earth. There's no peace except in God. Now, what he says in Romans 5 and 1, and you hear me quote this a lot of times, because to me it says better than anywhere else in the scriptures what salvation is. And what he says in the first verse of chapter 5 is, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Says it plain. Do you realize without that child being born that day, we could not have peace? Whoa. Think about that for a moment. Except Jesus was born in Bethlehem that day to that virgin woman, you couldn't feel peace today. Any of these sinners today, you would have no hope of ever feeling peace, because he died for that, your propitiation, to take your place, to make sure that you could be justified by that precious blood. Thus the angels said, peace on earth. That was what they was talking about. This child, glory to God, you've given the child that will give peace to those people who knew no peace. Oh yes, there was those that before them, Abraham for example, David, Moses, different ones throughout the old days that had gotten saved believing and looking forward to that child being born. What the Bible says, Jesus talking about Abraham, Abraham longed to see my day and saw it, he said. They looked forward to the time in which that child would be born into this world, would give his life on the cross of Calvary, that they would be saved. But we look back to that to receive the very same peace, and you can have it too. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. Now, that goodwill, now I want to give you a phrase here. That word goodwill, and I want you to understand that this phrase, goodwill, means this according to the old Greek language. It means satisfaction. It means to be in delight, kindness, to wish upon you. It means for a purpose or a desire. Are you getting what I'm saying? Goodwill is God's desire. It is His good pleasure that you might be saved today. It's His satisfaction that you would believe and trust in Him that you might be saved. Now, the verse that I want to give you, and you hear me quote this verse on a regular basis, I think, in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, in the fourth verse, this speaking about God, speaking about God says, who will have all men to be saved? All means you. You know what those angels saw in the birth of that child? They saw the glory of God's salvation plan starting that you might be saved. Because God's will was that you would be saved. It is God's will that all that would believe on Him would be saved. That was in that first verse we read to you out of 1 Peter. Yeah, it was there. You want to go back to it right quick? Let's go back over it right quick if I can get there. He said, but with the precious blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God. You see, you believe in God by the fact that you believe in Jesus, in that you believe in His work. You see, that was the will that God, those angels saw. They saw God's will being manifest. The word manifest, it's got a lot of different meanings, and I didn't look it up. But this is what I want you to see, what I want you to understand it means in this circumstance. It means to be made bright. How many of you ever drive at night and someone with a very nice disposition leaves their lights bright on you? Oh, you do it. No, the idea is you know they're there, don't you? By their light that shines out. See, the manifest, God made it brilliant in your eyes. In that day, His plan, His desire that you might be saved. It's God's will that you might be saved. And in the very act of Him sending His Son into this world, He made it where you could see it, where that you could be saved, where you could trust in God for His salvation, that He's got it. And the angels saw it coming together. Why? Because He loved you. He loved you more that day. He loved, I want you to get that phrase. He loved you more that day than you loved yourself. Does that sound possible? He did. He loved you more than you loved yourself. And the angels saw this coming together. They knew how much God loved you. I think they knew about the plan of salvation. I don't think they knew every jot and tittle about it. They knew a lot about it. And they saw it starting to happen. And that's why they said, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth has arrived. Goodwill towards these human beings that truthfully doesn't deserve to be saved. But God loved you so much. He loved you so much that He wanted you to be saved. That He gave this child. The next time you see one of these little depictions of kids, don't just take it for granted when you see Mary and Joseph up there. Maybe you see a little baby doll or something like that that somebody is holding, some little child's holding. Maybe you'll see something out here on somebody's yard. Most time we just focus in on the two big ones, don't we? Bring it down to the one in the middle. Because of that child, not the one in the middle in the depiction, but because of what that's standing for, Jesus. I want you to think about that for just a moment. I got saved. I want you to think about it this way. You can be saved if you're not. They saw it. You need to see it. Brother Brad, that's going to be my message today. Think about it a lot today, if you will. Think about the next time you see that little image there. You know, like these two here, that little baby there. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. That He gave us peace. It was His goodwill for us. Because of that little child that they was proclaiming the birth of. Think about that a lot today. While we stand and sing.
Brother, won't you stand? Page 260. 260.